On Wednesday, August 7th, 1974, a young Frenchman named Philippe Petit committed a crime. He rigged a cable between the twin towers of the World Trade Center and gave the high-wire performance of his life. Over the course of an hour and 110 stories up, Petit walked not once, not twice, but 8 times between the towers. Philippe Petit's written a book about his walk. It's called To Reach the Clouds.
Those two towers drew me in their magnificence before even they were built. I was in France in 1968. I was 18 years old in a dentist's office, and I saw, you know, the pile of old newspapers there. I saw actually an article with a picture of a model, and the article says one day those two towers will be built and they will become the highest in the world. Now, the irony was at the time I was barely a self-taught wire walker. I learned by myself. And somehow the challenge, the call from those two towers started right there, and it became a dream. It was in my system. I studied the towers as they were being built. Then I came to New York and I studied them, and I sneak, of course, and, you know, has photograph taken, measurement made, and then try to find out how could I sneak equipment, almost a ton of equipment, and offer to New York and to America and to the world something free, something romantic, something that had no reason. There was no why, really, but I had to do it.
It was a matter of enormous preparation. How long did it take you to get all of your equipment in and decide what you needed?
Well, actually, from this dentist office, you know, coup de foudre, first idea, to the moment I set my foot 1,350 feet in the air on the 7/8 of an inch steel cable, that was 6.5 years. But when I came to New York for the first time with the implicit reason to put a wire illegally between the towers, I spent 8.5 months in New York, almost daily sneaking in the towers.
Well, I'm curious. I keep thinking about that wire and all of the equipment that you had to have in order to put it. You sneaked all of that into the World Trade Towers, both of them, because you had to have equipment in both towers and stretch it. It just seems impossible.
When I first saw the Twin Towers from the ground, I saw those giant monoliths, and obviously it was impossible. And then I sneak in, my first visit, and obviously at the top, I even couldn't look down. I just looked across, and again, I knew, I was convinced it was impossible. But something in me is the rebel poet, and I said, okay, it's impossible, let's work on it.
An obsession, then, in a way.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, practically speaking, how did you do it?
How I did it? Well, it's actually a very complex and long story, but I can tell you I staged a fake delivery in which I was disguised with some accomplices as delivery man. That's not too difficult to do that. And we had false papers that I did. I mean, it was an artistic crime. It's very parallel to a real crime, except I didn't steal or kill. I actually offered something inspiring. And then all night, me and my accomplices, we rig the cable. And again, there, I cannot tell you, it's a very long story. There were miracle moments, there were panic moments, there were disastrous moments. A guard at some point was in our field of vision. But anyway, and then what we did is a fishing line was thrown across with a bow and arrow.
Ah.
And then when I got the fishing line, I was able to bring heavier and heavier lines. And in the middle of the night, we were like 3-4 hours late in our schedule, finally the very heavy cable passed, and even that was not a simple operation. And then in the morning at 7 a.m., and I knew I had to get on the wire before 7:15, at 7 a.m., the freight elevator that brings the workers to the top, because the towers were structurally finished, but finishing work, doing the last touches to the two upper floors, that elevator was starting to function, and I knew within minutes the two roofs will be full of workers who will probably jump on me and prevent me from getting on the wire.
You had to do it by 7:15 because otherwise you wouldn't be able to do it at all.
Exactly, and I was not ready. I had a plan, and the plan was thrown to the garbage almost at the beginning of the plan when I was entering with my false delivery. So anyway, it was an incredible adventure, and the guards were with me.
I have to ask, because the French to English pronunciation issue raises it. You said the gods were with you, not the guards were with you.
Oh, actually, yes, yes. The both were with me. The guards were around me all night, and I managed to elude them. And the gods of the wind, the gods of the towers, the gods on the wire, in the wire. I believe all those elements are not human, but I believe there is life in those twin towers that I studied so intensely for years. I believe there is life in the vibrating cable on which I walk and which I tune almost like a guitar before a performance. And I believe there is suddenly life above in the clouds allowing me to walk on my cable.
Did you believe at that moment when you put your foot on the cable that in spite of your hurried preparations, it was as good as it could be?
Oh, 10,000 times better. You see, when people see me as a dot in the sky, a human reaction is to point and say, he is crazy. But if you would follow me backstage in my intense and sometimes month-long, years-long preparation of an event, you will see that I am the opposite of a madman. I'm really preparing everything. Sometimes I even study the weather. I have a special cable design. I direct the rigging when it's a legal work. So all that actually, to me, is my safety net, you see. And when I am on the wire, when I put my first foot on the wire, I am always certain to perform the last step, the arrival one. And therefore, I have no fear. And therefore, that moment is almost the most calm and the most beautiful and the most safe moment of this entire adventure, from getting an idea to put a wire somewhere, legally or not, to performing on that wire.
There are photographs of you walking not once, not twice, but several times across this wire. You must have prepared for that as well.
No, that was improvised. What I wanted was to marry those towers that were doomed to be separated forever. After doing the first crossing, which is, of course, the most important one, I was not in the feeling of crossing and, you know, yelling my victory cry and say, I did it. No, to me, I'm so far from what you would call a stuntman or a daredevil. To me, what was interesting was to present some romantic promenade. And after this first crossing, somehow I felt like, maybe let's make another one in a different kind of walk, more beautiful maybe. And then after that second walk, I was drawn into, it was not thought at all, it was improvised. I was drawn into a third one in which I stop and I kneel and I saluted the towers. And at some point, I even sit down and look down at the little ants looking at me. And at some point, I lay down on the wire. All those things, my friends told me after, hey, Philippe, you stayed 45 minutes on the wire and you actually performed 8 crossings. But that was not planned. That was theater.
You almost fell asleep at one point, you said, when you were lying down.
Well, no, I should be honest and I should say that I maybe rested, but the delicate balance of a wire walker on his back on a wire is such that actually you could close your eyes or you could feel like you're about to fall asleep. In my case, I'm going to share with you another astonishing story. To me, the most precious memory of these walks at the Twin Towers. As I was laying down, I look at the sky. And above me, I saw in my field of vision a bird, a seabird, circling, lowering, looking at me almost with, I don't know, with cruel eyes. Almost as if that bird would think, who is this ugly, featherless bird invading my territory, you know? And I felt then that I was trespassing, not so much trespassing the human world, which of course I was, but I was trespassing in another dimension, and I should not be presumptuous. I should know my limits and remember that I am allowed to promenade there and not feel too victorious. And then the bird left and I never see him or her again.
Now, you mentioned, of course, the trespassing. When you did come off of the wire, you were arrested. Did that feel like a come down or was it simply what
no,
you expected?
Well, they could have chopped my head like they did in the Middle Ages in France when you steal a loaf of bread. But no, really, the afterwards, again, was not thought. I didn't have a lawyer to protect me. I never thought of the after. They could do what they want with me if I finally achieve my dream. So, of course, the police was there within minutes of my first walk, but this I knew. I even knew the speed of the direct police elevator from the sub-basement to the very top. That was part of my homework. So after one crossing or one and a half crossing, I was not surprised to see at the two corners of each tower a group of policemen and a group of official people that were trying to stop the poet in his promenade. And of course, I disregard them. I remember they must have yelled things at me, you know, now you're famous, you got what you want, calm down. And that, and then I finished, I closed my performance on what I consider my most beautiful work, and I gave myself up to the authority, and then they did what they had to do.
One thing, of course, that has happened since then is that the towers are gone. And we all know why. They were destroyed in an incredible act of violence September 11th, a year ago. Has your relationship to the towers changed since 9/11?
No, it's a very tough subject personally, and it's even a tougher subject because I cannot think or talk about the destruction of the towers only. I have to think and talk about the crushing of human life, millions of times more important than the disappearance of two magnificent engineering marvels. But in my case, I feel about the towers, maybe because I studied them and they were in my system, and I knew them like maybe no one knew them. I feel the towers were actually a part of my live apparatus. I feel almost, I don't know, the loss of someone very dear. So in that sense, when they were destroyed, I felt something very personal. I felt the loss of something that was part of my system. But when I saw that in their disappearance, they took with them thousands of lives. How can I even talk about, you know, concrete and glass being crushed? I mean, my story has nothing to do with the destruction of the towers and with the disaster that we all suffered from. It has to do with the beauty, the glory, the joy of those two magnificent engineering marvels again. So I think it will inspire people, and it might actually help people who are directly touched by the disaster to add a beautiful memory to the actual grieving of having lost dear one and having lost the towers. But how can you talk about those two subjects side by side? But in my heart, to be honest and to answer the question truthfully, those two questions are mixed in a torn, full, very, very tough way, and I have difficulty talking about it. You know? And then, yes, after a disaster, how can you go back to life? Some people cannot. So artists and maybe are the one that more than others have this feeling of fighting rebellion against disaster, creating, recreating. What it is when you see a bird, it lifts your spirit. And when you see a man walking in the clouds, it does the same thing. So I will never stop doing that.
Philippe Petit is the author of the book To Reach the Clouds, My Highwire Walk Between the Twin Towers.